Okay, thanks, worship team. Just a small request, that one song we sang, I will bless the Lord. Can we sing that again?
Okay, yeah. Love that. That's like my new favorite song. I think I'm going to sing that every day this week, just so you know, Lord. Okay, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're in Matthew, chapter 6. Go ahead and open your apps. Your Bibles, it's in your bulletin. And I would also like to commend the bulletin to you. So many good things in here every week. Thanks to Fernando, Jim, and Lloyd. By the way, if you don't know Lloyd, I recommend that you follow him, not follow him, befriend him on Facebook. He has the best status updates all the time. So, love that stuff. One complaint, Lloyd. It says, Happy Father's Day here. And the Father's Day is like, you know, tools, like a balance and some caulk gun and like a wrench and stuff. There's no tape. That's like the father's number one tool, is like packing tape or duct tape. So anyway, so as we're turning to our scriptures, I don't have anything particularly planned for Father's Day, but I would like to tell you two things that would give honor to our fathers. One, I would like to give particular honor to my grandfather. he's passed away. His name is Casto Habacon. And for many of you who know my story, I never met my father. And so he was a father to me in so many ways. And there's lots of things I do, lots of things I realize that I do reflect his mannerisms and his character. And so I just want to praise God for giving me such a great grandfather, Lolo. And then also on this Father's Day, I want to just praise God. I want to tell you the moment God changed my life was I was 15 years old, struggling with the fact that I had never met my father, and was really angry with God and searching for a father figure and just pointing my finger at God. And finally, God revealed himself to me. He said loud and clear within my heart, he said, Chris, I have always been your father up till this point. I'm your father now. And if you would give your life to me, I will always be your father. You will always have a father figure in your life. And it was that day that the burden was lifted. I was walking on air and have never turned back on giving my entire life to God. And as a part of, I believe, my redemption, God has been kind enough to make me a father of three crazy sons. So I praise him for that. Okay, so to all the rookie fathers like me, let's hang in there, gambaro. For all the veteran fathers, I'll get there someday. So praise the Lord, we'll honor you as well. And for all you would-be fathers coming up someday, keep looking in front of you. Look to the Lord for all your inspiration. Okay, so we're in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll go from verse 25 in the NIV, and I'll read from verse 25 to 27. Please join me at verse 28, Matthew 6, 25 to 27, and then you join me from 28 to 24, or 34. The words of Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Please read together. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The very words of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Eric, if you could be so kind to turn my mic down just a little bit, I would appreciate that. Our subject today is kingdom priorities, kingdom seeking. So we're in the kingdom of God this year. We're studying all of the verses, all of the passages relating to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And so we get our subject from verse 33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. So for many of us who have heard and maybe read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, many times, seek first the kingdom of God. First, seek first his kingdom. For many of us, it means go to church more, read your Bible more, have more prayer time, go to Bible study more, do more, 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 more. You're seeking first the kingdom of God. And I will not disagree with that. That's not a bad interpretation. That's just not the main interpretation. Because if you look at the context of what Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean to do more. It means to do one thing less. And we read it three times in verse 24, 31, and verse 34. It says, do not worry. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. And some here would say, that's just rude. How would you say, obnoxious, how arrogant. How could you tell me not to worry? It's not like I'm trying to worry. I don't wake up in the morning and say, yes, today I will be anxious for many things. You don't do that. And so, Jesus, who are you to tell me not to worry? And as a dad, you know, sometimes, as Brian was saying, you don't feel like being kind. Sometimes you have to be stern, and you tell your son or your daughter, your kids, let's go. Suck it up, and let's get to it. Stop crying, stop whining, stop moaning, and stop complaining. Come on. Right, dads? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. So, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying, don't be worried, don't anxious, don't. You know, he's not saying stuff it up and buck up. He's not being stern here. He's actually being quite different, the opposite. He's being so gentle, and he's giving us reasoning and argument and logic. And he's saying, come, just let's think about this. Let's think about this, okay? Why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Why are you losing sleep? Why do you keep replaying it over and over and over? Why is your stomach all messed up? Why do you have these ulcers? And why is your skin messed up? Because you're worrying and worrying so much. Why is it you have these facial tics that won't go away because you're so anxious? Why is it you can't eat regularly because of all the things that you're shaking about and worrying about and what's going to happen and what's the result going to be like? And he's saying, come on, let's think about this for a minute. He's so good. You see, there are many kinds of kings. There are some kings who would try to control everyone in his kingdom by making them anxious. They don't know if they're going to get the king's favor. They're not sure if the king will accept them. They're not granted full access into the king's mind and heart, because the king wants them to be afraid and not sure so that they'll give the effort or they'll be obedient for fear of the king. Jesus is not like that king. There's another kind of king that takes away the anxiety of his people. He gives his people peace. He gives them rest and assurance. And that's what motivates them to service, to obedience, to love. That's the king that we have in Jesus. The one who says, no, 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 we're not going to be a kingdom of fearful, anxious people. That's out there. The pagans run after that. There's some empires, there's some kingdoms on the news, the media. It's all about worry about this war, worry about this economy, worry about this danger, worry about that weather, worry, fear, be anxious. Turn it off. That's not our kingdom. This is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, of God in heaven. And he says, I'm here to give you peace about this. Okay, so let's get into our text. Do not worry about your life, verse 25. Life there is sukai in the Greek. It's your physical life, your physical existence, your body, basically. And it's talking about the food and the drink, okay? And also the clothing. And Jesus says, the way that you are going to stop being anxious about whether or not you're going to have what you need is to consider the birds. Look at the birds. And so he's talking about life there. He's talking about the bare necessities of life, food, drink, and clothing. Basically, when you have food, you have pleasure and comfort, because that's what you want as a human. When you have clothing, you have the admiration of people, and you have the fashion, and you have respect from others, you have status. And then when you have the drink, you have your basic necessities, the very basics you need to live. And so he's saying, there's so many of you here, including me, who will worry about what people think of you. So you have these clothes. You're worried about whether or not you're going to be able to pay the rent, make the car payments, provide for your family. And so you worry about those things, the very basics of life. And so what you have in Israel, it's amazing. This is kind of a footnote, but bear with me for a minute. In Israel, all of the birds from Europe and from the near Middle East, when they go south for the winter to the warm weather, they go through Israel. So you've got so many flocks and so many varieties of birds. They can't go over the Mediterranean Sea. It's just water. And they can't go east of Israel because it's all desert. So it's very possible at this time there's just flocks and flocks and flocks flying over. And Jesus says, look at those birds. Not one of them is worried about their food, about their provision. And He's saying they rely on instinct. They're acting just on instinct, just to get their daily food. But here's the truth, and it's all throughout the Psalms, Psalms 145, 147. God gives the beasts what they need. He feeds them. It's all from his hand. And he's saying the difference between those animals and the people of the kingdom is that the animals glorify God because of the instinct. They have no choice. They do what they do because that's all they can do. But for the people of God, we glorify God not because of instinct, but because of faith. And that's what distinguishes us from the beasts. And that's what gives God more invested in us. And so Jesus is giving us reason, logic. He's going from, it's called an an argument a priority, a prioritai, whatever, I don't know, something like that. And basically it's from the lesser to the greater. He's saying, you look at this small principle of the birds, of the beasts, of how they gather and how they are provided for. How much more you who have will, who have emotion, who have the very image of God in you, how much more will God invest in you? How much more does God love you? So that's his first point. And I need to go behind that for just a moment. For those of us here who doubt God, God is saying, the reason why you're worrying is not because you think too much. The reason why you're worrying is because you think too little. A lot of people think, yeah, Christianity, that's fine. It's a good escape from logic and reason, a good escape from thought, check your mind and put it at the door and then come and give them all your heart. No, 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 no. Faith, Jesus is saying, is you thinking about it. Think about it. Look at the birds. Look at the fields. Look how it's all orchestrated by God and how he's in control. Let me get back to that in just a minute. But let's go, let's continue. Are you not much more valuable than they? Okay, so we're now in verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So the literal way that Jesus is saying it is, this is kind of funny because I'm tall and I live in a country of short people. He's actually saying, can you actually add height? Can you add a cubit to your life? He's saying, can you, by your will, think yourself to be taller? And that's kind of his metaphor. And then the translators say, can you add an hour to your life by worrying? And obviously we all know, no, you can't do that. And in fact, it's the opposite, isn't it? You keep worrying, you keep thinking, you keep being anxious. You keep messing up your body, and you're going to take hours, days, weeks, you're going to take years off of your life. You'll die sooner because you worry. Interesting how it all works out that way. And so he gives us a second way to combat the worry. 28, see how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor, spin. I'm telling you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. This is amazing. So we don't know what flowers he's referring to. You all seen the wild flowers. They're pretty. I'm not a flower guy, but I like some pretty flowers every now and again, especially on Mother's Day or something. In Japan, you can look in October. It's beautiful. It's called the koryo, and all the trees turn red and yellow, orange, just for a few weeks in October. And then when you're here in April, the first few weeks of April, the cherry blossoms come out. It's world famous. for just that brief moment, and you look at it, and nothing compares to the beauty, right? You're just like, this is glorious. This is absolutely beautiful. And Jesus says, yeah, you can have all the money. You can be as rich as Solomon, who had all the wealth, all the gold, all the jewelry. And he was nothing compared to what you see there. How much more? Because who is in control? Who's in control? I'm going to get right to it. I watched a movie called Castaway. I don't know when it came out, but Tom Hanks was the main character. And it's about him. He was flying over the sea, and his plane crashed. He survived, and he was all alone on an island in the Cook Islands, and he was there for many years. And at the beginning of the movie, he was kind of chubby and slow and couldn't do anything. And then he learned how to make a fire, and he learned how to hunt for fish. And after 4 years, he had a long beard and crazy hair, but he was slim and strong. And he had one friend. It was his volleyball. You know that story? And he called him Wilson. And he would talk to the volleyball. I would, too. I'd talk to balls and birds, whatever, if I had nobody. But one day, he wanted to kill himself. So he made a rope, and he put it on top of the mountain, the highest mountain. And before he put it around his neck, he wanted to make sure that it will work. So he found a piece of wood the same weight of his body, and he put the rope around that piece of wood, and he threw it over the cliff. And the tree that it was tied to, it broke. So he said, well, I can't kill myself. So he went back down the mountain, and he was just sleeping. And one day, he heard a strange noise. It was the tide, the water coming in. And there was a strange kind of rough sound. He went to the water. There was two sides of a in English, it's porta potty. It's a portable toilet. I don't know how you say that in Japanese. Kan-i toire. So it's like a plastic toilet house, only two walls. And he's looking at it. He's sitting there. And he thought, yeah, this might work. So he built a raft, and he used the raft to float, and he used the walls of that toilet as a sail, right? If you've seen the movie, you know. If you haven't seen the movie, spoiler, okay? That's how he gets off the island, and he goes, and he gets rescued. He finds his way back to Memphis, and everybody's happy to see him. Okay, so let me get right to the main point. He's at the end of the movie, and he's explaining to his best friend what happened, and he's just thinking that one day he was on the island, he had no control over most things. But he thought, okay, I have control over my life. I'm going to end it. So I'm going to take this rope, and I'm going to jump off this cliff. And it didn't work. And in that moment, he said, I realized I don't have control over anything. Not even how I live or die. And in that moment, the feeling came over me like a warm blanket. I don't have control over how I live or die. I just know I'm going to live. I'm just going to live. That's all I can do. I can't do anything else. Let's get back to Jesus. Jesus says, you have no control. Let me set you free. You think you're in control. You think you figured it out. You know. For those of you who've lived long enough, you know. You have no control over just about anything. All you can do is live right here, right now, today. Today. That's what Jesus is saying. Today. You've got today. And the problems of today, I'm going to give you all the strength you need for today. What does it say in Lamentations chapter 3? Right? His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Tomorrow, you'll get some mercy for tomorrow. You'll have the strength for tomorrow. Just leave it there. Now, I need to stop right there and just think, does that mean I don't make a plan for tomorrow? Does that mean I'm lazy and just, you know, hey, I'm a hippie, whatever, grow my hair. Just tomorrow, so I'm just in the now, man. I'm all present right here. No, he's not saying that, right? Make plans, okay? When you build a tower, figure out how much it costs. When you go to war, make sure you know that you're going to be able to fight it. Read Proverbs. Look at the ant, you sluggard. See how they gather. He's saying, yes, when it's time to build, it's time to build. When it's time to gather, it's time to gather. It's not time to worry, but it's time to work. So let's make the distinction. So here I am on Sunday. I know I look at my calendar. Just like Roy, this next 5-6 days, it's going to be pretty hard for me. I've got lots of lessons. I've got lots of things of basketball, lots of things to get done. And so last week, I had some extra time. I'm doing all the work I can. I'm preparing for my lessons. I'm thinking about these classes. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do with this time, that hour, these books. And then I come very close to that point of, okay, I've prepped this much. I don't know if this is going to work. And what if the students don't like this? And what if this happens? And then I don't know if the computer is going to mess up and the printing and the papers. And then my boss is going to get mad and my players are, they're just going to, what do I do? I come very close to that line. And then Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, Chris. Tomorrow is going to have enough trouble of its own. You do what you do today. Get it done today. And you just trust me. Trust me for what happens next week. So Jesus gives us the right to work, but he does not give us the right to worry. And now let's get to the very heart of it. You can work. It's in your power to do that. You shall not worry. And Jesus is making this a command. And to worry is to sin. Why is it to sin? Because it's saying, I'm in control. If I think about this and I worry about this and I plan and I try to be in control of all of it, it's all going to be okay. Because I'm in control. I am God. And God will not have you sitting in his chair. Because it's his kingdom. And so God says, you get out of my chair, and I'll take care of things. That's the beauty of it. You get out of my chair, because getting in my chair is a sin. Now here's the beauty of it. Chapter 6, verse 33. You seek my kingdom, my righteousness, and what I'm going to do for you is I'll do the worrying for you. I'm going to provide all of it. I'll take care of it. All these things, I'm going to give it to you. You stop worrying and live for me. I'll worry for you, and I'll take care of all of that. Where do we get this power? Can I just finish on this? Where do we get the ability to just let it go and let God? Where does that come from? It's right there in verse 33. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Who's saying it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is saying it. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the one. He's the one who went to this place. And he gave it all. He gave it all for us. He stretched his arms out and he poured out his life to take away our guilt, to remove and wash away our shame. He let it all go. How much more will he take care of the rest? If you have trusted Christ for your eternity, how much more shall you trust him for your everyday present condition? That's where it is. Seek first his kingdom. How do you seek his kingdom? Just stop worrying. And so I have to repent. I have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've tried to be in control. And this worrying and this manipulating and this control freakism, it's just making me lose sleep. It's making my stomach just all in knots. It's making my skin break out in crazy blisters. Lord, I'm sorry. I need to repent. And he takes me to a beautiful place, Philippians chapter 4. He says, don't be anxious for anything, but in all things, through thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. In who? In Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't need me to worry. You just need me to be thankful, and you need me to come to you in prayer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. I hope that feeds you. I hope that comforts you. I hope that releases you from your anxiety. And if you still got, you're holding on to something, I don't know how Kyohei is going to turn out in the future. I don't know if we're going to have enough money for this car. I don't know if blah, 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 blah. I don't know. But Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And today, I'm going to praise you. Will you praise him today? That's what I'm asking you. Will you praise him today and give it to him today? If so, he welcomes you with open arms. With open arms. Would you spend a moment in reflection, meditation with me? Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to pray for myself and on behalf of my people. Lord God, we are by nature anxious. Lord, your number one command in the Bible, so many, 365 times you say, don't fear, don't be anxious. Lord, we need it every day to know that you are in control, not us. And for us who have been trying to be in control, Father, forgive us. For us who have been trying to be manipulative of all our situations, trying to be God, forgive us, Lord God. We bow our knee, we bow our head, we bow our heart in submission to your lordship in our life. Lord, we trust you because you loved us and you continue to love us. Father, for those of us here who have had health problems, sleeping problems, relationship problems, all because of our worry and our anxiety, Lord, we lay it at your feet. And as you command us with prayer and thanksgiving, we present our requests to you. And Lord, in place of our anxiety, we will offer to you worship, praise, thanksgiving, music, psalms. And we will preach to our heart that I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. And I will not worry. Lord, let that be our prayer. And Father, I pray for the reality of the cross to cover all of this. That Lord, as we have been forgiven of our sins, cleansed of our shame by the blood of Christ, O dear God, that we would walk in that freedom and in the lordship of him who loved us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.